Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Wednesday, this being the 5th of April of 2023. And I am your host tonight, coming to you live from Leavenworth, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you. Of course, we have Easter coming up in a few days. And about that, you know, when Easter occurs is based on the moon. Something about the moon helps determine when Easter is. And I'm sure I can see why that is. There have been groups that have called for a uniform date for Easter, which would be the second Sunday of April, is what I had heard, like, if that was to ever be a thing, which in my mind, if that's the day they pick, it makes all the sense in the world for it to be somewhere in there, because it's kind of right there in the middle based on that moon cycle, not ultra early, not ultra late. I know there was one time I remember that Easter was on like March 23rd. Yes, March 23rd, 2008. A couple of years later, 3 years later, to be specific, Easter was basically a full, one day more than a full month later on Sunday, March the 20th, April the 24th, which that to me is just wild. That can be that much different. The other latest Easter that I remember in my lifetime was April the 23rd of the year 2000. Some wild stuff. Next year, Easter will be on March 31st, which is not overly early, you know what I mean? But it's not overly late either. So I think somewhere around that April 9th, second Sunday, meaning as late as April 14th, as early as April the 8th, sounds about right to me. And we don't know necessarily the exact date as to when Jesus died on the cross and then when he rose. We do know, however, that it was on a Friday that he died on the cross, and that it was on a Sunday that he rose from the grave. That's what we do know. Was it even in the spring? I don't know that either. Well, we know it was in the summer. Kind of the same kind of thing with Christmas. I've heard talk that he was born in the springtime. I've also heard that he was born in October. Obviously, here in the Western world, we celebrate Christmas on December the 27th. 25th. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said December 27th. That was weird on my part. I don't mean 27th. I'm not 25th. Because December 27th is, you know, 2 days after Christmas. And after Christmas, to me, it's kind of not the same right after Christmas as it is right before. I prefer right before as opposed to right after when it comes to Christmas. That's how it is for me. To each their own, as they say. You know, you get to decide for you how you see. But tonight, I'm going to talk about the resurrection. I'm going to talk about it from this point of view. Lockdowns don't work. It was a sermon that was taught last year that I've heard of. No, I don't have the outlines for that sermon or anything like that, but this idea of lockdowns don't work refers to him being, you know, him being laid in the tomb, but then he arose. Have you ever heard it from that angle? Lockdowns don't work?
Yes.
That was specifically referring to last Easter that you heard that, wasn't it?
I'm guessing so, yep.
The lockdown that they're referring to was him being laid in the tomb. Like for most people, when you die.
Oh, so you weren't talking about the pandemic.
No, oh, no, 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 no. No, I am specifically talking about him being laid when he was laid in the tomb. But then he arose from said tomb on the third day. The lockdown, in this case, is him being laid down in that tomb. Because generally when you die, unless you're Jesus, you know, or you get raised from the dead, you know, your body drops there. Your body is laid there. Your earthly body will stay in that tomb. You know, will stay there. Of course, your spirit will go to hell or heaven. Prayerfully, my hope is that yours will go with me to heaven. But your natural body, your body in its most natural earthly form, will stay there in that tomb forever. Does that make sense what that concept is referring to about lockdown don't work? When you die and you are laid there in that tomb, generally you'll stay there forever. Your natural body will. But in this case, that did not work. Because he arose.
Yes.
And I had never heard it said that way until last year. Because... And I know someone I just asked me, I thought that was referring to the whole COVID thing. Nope. No. 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 It's talking about the resurrection of Jesus is what it's referring to specifically. Because otherwise, I'm sure other people would ask me, what are you talking about? I thought this was a message on Easter. Not a message on a lockdown. Well, when we open the Bible in a little bit, we'll see. What I mean is, you will see what happened there. also as a part of that, I want to give you the things that Jesus said on the cross. That's because there were some things that he said on that cross. And those are things that are very important. So it'll be kind of a two for one tonight, in a sense, you could say. Because Easter is coming on Sunday, and of course, you know, Good Friday comes before that. Originally, it was God Friday. Did you know that? Originally, it was called God Friday.
No, I did not.
Yes, originally it was. And you know, you see, Good Friday wasn't such a great day for our Jesus, but it was an awesome day for you and me. But as I said before, not so great for Jesus, because man, he was nailed to that cross, tortured, spit at, screamed at, arrested. Why? For us. That's why. For us, because he loved us. And so
6:40, try again. Lock. 6:42 p.m.
Thankfully, in this country, we still have the freedom and liberty to talk about this. And right now, I can come on here and I can do this kind of thing here on Blog Talk Radio and not be shut down for it. And I know we have listeners tuning in from many different countries. On an average day, we have like over 10 different countries that we have people tuning in from, including places in Asia, Africa, Europe, and of course, North and South America, Australia, and places like that. And of course, including here in the United States of America. And countries only get shown on the list if they have more than 1% of the total listening audience, which means that we could have people tuning in from even more countries than that. So that is something that is super cool. And I thank God for all these people who tune into these broadcasts and hear these shows and hear about what God's doing. It's something that I'm honestly thankful to God for, because when we launched this back in 2017, I wasn't sure where this was going to go. You know, I was believing that God was going to use it, and felt like it would be a place that I would come on and teach the word and talk some sports from time to time and sometimes talk about what's going on a little bit. And so it's been an awesome thing. 5.5 years been coming to you. For 3 nights a week, just like this. And the way I see it, I've been doing something right, because you people just keep tuning in. And so that's something that I honestly thank God for. It really is something that I thank God for. And I've enjoyed it immensely. And I know that God's doing things. And, you know, there's people that I may meet. There's people that, for all I know, there could very well be people who tune into these broadcasts, who come up to me in heaven and say, "Hey, you're the miracle man, aren't you?" Well, yes. Yes, I am. And then they might say, "Well, miracle man, I listened to your show down there on the earth, and you were how I got saved. You were how I gave my life to Jesus." Or could be, you know, "I got delivered from some things listening to your program." Like maybe you could be one of those people that might tell me, you know, "Hey, I got delivered from drugs," or "I got delivered from alcohol," or "I got delivered from nicotine," or "I got delivered from bitterness," delivered from, you know, unbelief, or different things that people would need to be delivered from.
Yeah.
And that they could say, "When I listened to your show, it changed my life. I'm glad to be a part of it, because helping change people's lives is why I do this, because I love seeing lives changed. Because I know ultimately it's God that makes the difference, and He changes the minds, He changes the hearts. Because obviously as a human, there's only so much I can do, only so much I can say. But people being obedient is what makes the difference. And people deciding, "I want to be free. I want to be different. I don't want to be like how I've been." That is where those deliverances come. And so, that's what I thank God for. And so, praise God. I want to remind you of one quick thing I want to remind you about, too. I forgot to mention this last night, but there was a Holy Spirit conference taking place down in Clarksville, Tennessee, headed up by Dr. Mark T. Barclay. I have not watched any of the meetings yet, but you feel free to go online to marktbarclay.com and do that. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's been great. I'm sure God's been on the move. I'm just for sure of that. That God's will is being done. And it's just something, you know, that I thank God for. That He's moving down there in Tennessee in that conference, because I know that God's will be done. And keep that meeting in your prayers. It goes to Good Friday, and that I know of, it's the first time ever that Dr. Buckley's done a conference that included Good Friday. All right, so I want to remind you of two quick things. First of all, I want to remind you of the PayPal. No, the book. Rivers of Miracles is the book. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been. Had always been there. It's divided into different miracles. In the different miracles that Jesus did in my life and my family. And it's a great book. It's a great read. My prayer is that when you read the book, it will increase your faith. That is my honest prayer, my honest belief, my honest hope, is that it will increase your faith. That's what I want for you, is I want your faith to be increased. I really do. Amen. And so you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how that book can be a blessing to your life. There is one more thing that I would like to mention really quick. It is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. When you sow a seed, like what Natalia does every month, by the way, Natalia, if you're listening, thank you so much for sowing your seed. I really do appreciate it. It really does mean a lot. And when you go online and sow the seed, I always pray for that seed. I always pray over that seed. Always. And I always pray that he would bless you as you sow your seeds. And, you know, when you sow your seed, I just pray that he bless you. And you can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you type in Rivers Shoe Club. Rivers Shoe Club. R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name, Shoe Club. S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would, please, that there is a space between Rivers and Shoe Club. The other thing I would like you to keep in mind related to that is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So please, if you would, just make a note of that. Please. As I would greatly and fully appreciate that if you would do that. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, but I want to sell a verse. The verse I want to give to you is this: he who soweth sparingly shall also reap. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Say, what's that mean? It means that God looks at the heart. He looks on the percent more than what he looks on the amount of dollars you sow. See? He looks on the heart. He looks at. And also Jesus said, Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then we will get into the word of the Lord for this evening. I was buried, but I was buried beneath my shame. Who can carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was buried, but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tune till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. And now your freedom is all that I know. The old made you new, Jesus, when I met you. 'Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. My sin was hidden in shelter. I was an orphan. My sin was hidden in skew. My sin was heavy. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. But you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you are my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, yeah, I ran out of that grave, yeah. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. 'Cause when you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You called me out of that grave. Thank you, Jesus. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. Listening upon the cross. Oh, The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. This earthly power cannot be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. The earthly power cannot be overcome. Now death, where is yours? Has resurrected the king, has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. Forever he is glorified, is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive, he's alive. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day, it will never reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Yeah. Oh, the blood brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me, oh, way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain. For it flows to the lowest valley. Yeah. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day. It will never never lose. It will never lose its power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that never loses its power. It never has lost its power. And it never loses its power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us on that cross, and for everything that you bought and paid for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. You're not on the cross anymore. You're not on that cross anymore. You rose from the grave. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. And I thank you, Master, for this time we have tonight for your word, to study your word. Thank you that all those who have a need get their needs met by you tonight. You know what they have need of. Thank you that you're healing bodies right now. You're strengthening minds. You're healing minds. You're fixing relationships. You're fixing things that need to be fixed. Thank you, Master, that you're delivering people right now. That you are strengthening people right now. Thank you that you're blessing people right now. That people are seeing increase right now. And I thank you, Master, for what you're doing for these people right now. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, folks, to the book of Luke, and we'll go to chapter 4 tonight. As I said, we're calling this resurrection tonight. We're calling this lockdowns don't work. He could not be locked down in that tomb, and we'll get to that when that comes. I'm going to begin in verse number 1 of Luke, of the book of Luke, chapter number 24. So it's the final chapter of the book of Luke. So if you get to John, If you go to John, you went too far. Just go back one book, and you'll be golden. Thank God for the Word of God. All right, I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here." And then he says something totally awesome that I love. "He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because of the words seemed to them like nonsense. Ooh, the words seemed to them like nonsense. Yep, exactly. That's what it said. The words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village that was called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still and their faces downcast. One of them, named Caiaphas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word, and died before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we have hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition," just turning the page, "in addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that it was just as the women had said. But they didn't see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. As they approached the village where they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' So the two told what had happened, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now he appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" What? "Peace be with you." 37. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds, and they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So you see, in another one of the accounts, appeared to them. He kept appearing to them in different forms. And it took like the third time for them to recognize, oh, it's Jesus. And Doubting Thomas only missed one church service. That's all he missed. One church service. And he had all that doubt. One. That's all he missed. One of them. And yet he had trouble believing. And then they but in what we read tonight, Peter decided he himself, after all those women had left the tomb, he decided he would go into that tomb and see for himself, just to see. Is it real or is it not real? And he's thinking, well, they tell me that he's like, well, I know he died. But he's like, I want to go to the tunnel. I want to see for myself. Is he still there in the tomb? Or is he not still there? And he's alive. Instead, he goes in there. He sees that the stone has been rolled away. And he noticed that vision that Mary and the other Mary had, Joanna, and that voice asks them, why, the angel from God asks them, why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Mm-hmm.
He says, why? He basically asks them, now ladies, why are you looking for him here? And they're telling him, he's not here. He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave could not hold him. And they're thinking, you know, they're like all scared, and they're like, they've taken away my Lord. And they're like, oh, I don't know where they put him. Like, we don't know. And then they get told, he's not in here. He has risen. He has risen. He was buried in the tomb. That lockdown did not work. He rose from the grave. He's still seated at the right hand of God to this day. And he lives, he walks with us, talks with us. And people, you know, might ask, you know, well, how do you know he lives? How do you know he lives for sure? How do you know for sure? And then people will say, he lives within my heart. He dwells within my heart. That is how I know that he still lives. Because he lives within me. Within me. It's not one of those things that I have to try to wonder about and try to figure out and try to do scientific figures to just see. It is, and be like, well, is it or isn't it? Nope. There's nothing for me to figure and wonder, because I know for a fact that he still lives. And we read it tonight. People wonder. You know, sometimes people wonder. But I'll explain kind of what I mean. So sometimes people will just be asking things. And there might be that maybe some of them might, you know, need some help, you know. People just, but you want to know something? I know something. That's that the Redeemer still lives. He still saves. He paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. Crimson. Crimson means red. It left a red stain. Crimson stain specifically. And he washed us white as snow. And not the kind of whitewashing that I get teased about after I get after I tan, where I've been told by my mom that I'm jokingly that I'm supposed to go into the tanner and tan. I mean that I'm supposed to go after I go to the tanner and tan, that I'm supposed to go wash the tan off. The joke is that I can go tan, but that I need to go wash the tan off and be and whitewash so that I can be white while she is tan. But the reason I don't have to whitewash is because I've been washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus. So I don't see why I should have to whitewash. but I mean, no, folks, if you're listening, listeners, honestly, if you're listening, no, I do not go home and whitewash after I go to the tanner, which I was just at today, as a matter of fact. But you know, but those men, you know, all those people at first had a hard time believing. I mean, it was a great day. It was supposed to be a day, a big day to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Yet they spent a bunch of time going like, huh? Where is he? What? What? Well, like I do when I'm playing games. What? I bet David that what was probably going through all their minds. I bet it was supposed to be, yeah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. He's rose from the grave. But I bet you they spent some of that time going, what? Because he wasn't there. It was a what? Because of doubt and unbelief. Is that why it was a what?
Yes.
It was supposed to be a big hallelujah. It was supposed to be a big yay. But instead it turned into a what because they didn't believe. It wasn't a what because they were sad. They weren't sad. It was a what because of unbelief. Doubting. And Jesus had told them multiple times. And he had talked to those crowds. And he had told them, like things like, oh, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll be able to say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. But, you see, some of them doubted that he had actually risen. And he even showed them his hands and feet. But some of them still had a hard time believing. Well, others were like, yes, it's you, Jesus. It's your hands. It's your feet. And when he finally appeared to them, part of why they had a hard time believing was all that joy. And all they were happy to see him. They were so happy to see him. And by that point, you know, Jesus had already, he had forgiven Peter. You know what's wild to me
what?
About the Bible is that even though it shows all those different accounts that he denied Peter, I don't see where it shows that he forgave Peter. I mean, where it says, Peter, I forgive you. Even though he would forgive him, because, you know, because when you do that kind of denial, you know, like what Peter did, and he denied him in all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of them show him denying Jesus and saying, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about. No, I don't know. Yet he was forgiven, got back in right standing, went on to write powerful epistles in the rest of the New Testament, and was involved from there on out. Peter with John. And so what had happened was Satan sifted, tried to sift Peter. Now, I want to give you some sayings that Jesus said while he was on the cross. One of them he said was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Another one, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Another one, son, behold your mother. That was from John. Also in John, I thirst. He was saying that he was thirsty. Another one from John. It is finished. And then after that, he breathes his last. Look, in there he says, oh, let me just make sure I have this right. Oh, yeah, he said, I don't remember specifically. Oh, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Yeah, I knew he said, you know, to that effect. I was just making sure that I had it right. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And then number seven, in no particular order, he had said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And those weren't just little nifty sayings, things that he was saying while he was on the cross just for something to say. No, he said those because they had great meaning. Great meaning. And I don't think he sat there on that cross yelling, my God, why have you forsaken me to sound all depressed? No, he was sitting there, you know, in agony. But here's the thing. It had to happen that way. It was prophesied that that's how it was going to happen. He warned his disciples that that's what was going to happen. He told them. So it's not like they could avoid it. Like they could try to stop it from happening. was told, you know, he would be betrayed by the hands of sinners. You know, isn't it something? People will say they love him, but they won't come to church. They won't do, you know, what Christians should be doing. But they'll say they love him. But they, but he was saying those things on the cross. You know, as he was sitting there, dying, shedding blood. And by the way, not by accident, not as coincidence. It was happening because it was said that it had to happen by the prophets. And so he had, you know, that, you know, he tore that veil when he had said from on that cross. He said specifically, it is finished. That might be the most important one of all, when he said, it is finished. He was, but here's what he was not saying. He wasn't saying, I'm all done. There's nothing more I can do for these people. I don't care. I'm tired. Some people will just say, it is finished, and then hit the pillow and go to sleep for the night. Isn't that the truth? They'll just say it's finished because they're tired and they want to go to bed. When he was saying it is finished, that meant the suffering was done. It meant that he had paid the price for our sin, for our shame. And that when he said it was done, the new covenant began for us. That even though it meant the end of his life on the earth, for us, it meant the start of new life. Exactly what it meant. It meant the start of new life for us. And it meant freedom, liberty for us. And that no more need to call an ant, to kill an animal to talk to him. Exactly what it meant. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that you are not dead anymore. You rose from the grave for us. You died on the cross for us, and then you rose from the grave. Why? So we could be free. So we could be delivered from our sins. And so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Lord God, I pray that we would tell people about those things you say you set on the cross, that we would find ourselves in your house over the next few days. God forbid, Lord, that Christians would slack on you, skip church, skip prayer, all to celebrate Easter. No, we're going to be there for you. And I thank you for that. And even if we have, you know, maybe family or something on Sunday night or whatever, and maybe we, you know, then we would at least take a moment to acknowledge what this means for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I confess Psalm 91 over us as we travel on this Easter weekend. I say that no enemy, no evil shall befall us, and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge all around us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no terrorist, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff is going to be on us or our loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Say amen. And I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. Happy Easter. And I will talk to you all Monday. So long, everybody.